want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries.
Well, thank God. I want to welcome every person to today's broadcast. I'm going to be speaking on paths of righteousness. Father, I just pray for President Trump, Vice President J.D. Vance. I pray for the House, the Senate, the Congress. I thank you for all the authorities in this land. I pray, Father, that the Spirit of the Lord be upon all that are in authority, state, local, federal law enforcement agencies, all the authorities of land. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel. I thank you, Father, we will not give you rest till you make Israel a praise in all the earth. All right, I want to start off by saying, those of you out there that you don't believe that we're going through the Great Tribulation, you don't believe that teaching on that subject is correct, as I've laid it out, that's fine. We can all agree we're living in perilous times. We can look around and just see that and look at the scriptures on perilous time. And we need to all be diligent about walking uprightly before God and expecting the Lord to come and get us. All right? So, and I believe that when you get a teaching right, it'll become clear to all for everyone to see. Because the body of Christ, as I spoke about last time, as we're raised up, when God turns again Zion, we're going to see eye to eye. And we're going to come into the unity of the faith and the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. So if the teaching that we're going to be raptured before the Great Tribulation is sound doctrine, then great. It will become clear. I don't believe it is. We know the book has been sealed to the end. And I believe God is opening it up more and more. You know, and I really don't want to... I personally don't want the Lord to come yet. And so the reason is because I've been being prepared by God for years to minister the gospel in power and see the body of Christ raised up in the earth. And so as I see things, it hasn't happened yet. Now, I believe I'm right. I believe we're going through the Great Tribulation, but God has to convince all of us. And if you're already convinced one way or the other, then good. Either way, we can all agree we need to get our faith and love perfected, get our hearts purified from all sin, to be able to stand strong during these current days we're walking through, all these perilous times. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1:10. I want to read something here. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. Let's read that in the Christian Standard Bible. Now I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree in what you say, that there be no divisions among you, and that you be unified in the same understanding and the same conviction. When God raises up the body of Christ, we're all going to be in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. I read that last week. Let's read it again. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I do not believe we've seen this yet, but it's coming. Now, I will tell you something. I'm going to give you an example of how there's things that have been taught for years, and as someone is raised up to speak this by the Spirit of God and lay it out there, it'll become clear. And, you know, because I've taught for years that we're no longer under the law of Moses. And the very scriptures many use in the body of Christ to say we are to live by the Ten Commandments actually prove we're not supposed to live by the Ten Commandments. Let me give you an example. Turn to Matthew 5:17. Think not I've come to destroy the law. Now keep this in mind. I believe this is going to happen just the same way. I think some of the very scriptures that people have used to say we're going to be raptured before the Great Tribulation, I think we're going to see that's not what it's saying. But anyway, let me show you this. Matthew 5:17. Think not I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever there shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach him, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now these are the words of Jesus. So everybody takes these scriptures and say, see, we're supposed to keep the law. So my question to those of you that quote the scripture and say we're supposed to live by the Ten Commandments, did Jesus fulfill everything God the Father sent him to fulfill? And we should all say, yes, of course. John 17:4, I've glorified thee on the earth. This is Jesus talking. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, this is him on the cross, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So we should all agree that Jesus fulfilled what God the Father sent him to do. Is that plain? Okay, back to verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till. It's not, we're going to keep every bit of the law of Moses till all be fulfilled. So here it says the law will pass away after it's been fulfilled. Go back to verse 17. Think not I've come to destroy the law of the prophet. I've not come to destroy it, but to fulfill. Now, we all agree Jesus fulfilled everything God sent him to do, or we should agree on that simple truth. And therefore, the law is done away with for the righteous. See? Because Jesus fulfilled it. See, so I've heard that quoted for a year, and I actually saw that more clearly just a few weeks ago, or maybe it was a little longer. And I said, oh my God, this is even more scripture. See, when God begins to open you up about a certain truth, you can start seeing it more and more places. All right? Because I could see the law strengthened sin in us. The law worked on the sin in us and made it as it made sin abound. That's Romans 5:20. In the seventh chapter, it made sin come alive. It made sin become exceedingly sinful. 1 Corinthians 15:56, it strengthened sin. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, and we're no longer under it. I saw those scriptures, but there was a few like this one. I just read this. Well, it seems like we're supposed to keep it. But it says that Jesus said it's not done away with till it's fulfilled. And then he said, I came to fulfill it. And I got my blind eyes open. I said, well, of course he fulfilled everything that God sent him to do. So it's been done away with. And you know, verse 20 after that says, for I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay? And that their righteousness was the law of Moses. See, God's calling all us to live by a higher standard of righteousness than the Ten Commandments. And that's to get a new nature and walk in God's Spirit. Okay? So I believe as we get each truth in the Word of God established in our hearts, it will become plain, and we will come into the unity, and we will, the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be raised up the body of Christ. And like I said, I spoke about that last week. Now, let's talk about walking down paths of righteousness. And I want to say this. When I see someone speaking to God's people, all this revelation, and they have this pleasant look on their face, and they're always smiling, everything appears easy to them, I really question what's going on, because persecution and affliction come up because of the word's sake. I get pressure when I'm bringing the truth to God's people because I'm in a war with the spirits that have these people bound. Now, I will say this, as you overcome each attack of the devil, you know, then you can speak what God is saying, and then, of course, you'll be happy and you can smile and everything. I'm not saying you never smile. I'm just saying, unless you've overcome. And I have a problem believing when I see people as just such an ease. You know, I slept good last night, woke up totally refreshed. And then by the time I put this podcast in, I felt like a bus hit me. wore out, tired. You know why? It's the pressure of the devil trying to keep me from getting the mind of God, what to speak. Because I go over, what do you want me to say, Lord? And as I put this together, I'm putting down different scriptures. You know, now, of course, everything I say is, many things I say is controversial. For example, saying the law of Moses is done away with for the righteous. Saying we didn't get a new heart when we received Jesus. Saying a Christian can be demon possessed. These things are all controversial, but I can prove everything I'm saying easily. You know, let me go ahead and I'm going to address this right now because it's been in my heart. But let's take demon possession of a believer. Because people say, oh, because I hear different ministers say, no, you can't be demon possessed. A Christian can't be demon possessed. Well, what is demon possession? Well, possession just means to be under the control of something or someone, right? It does. And of course, there's different degrees of possession. And a believer can be controlled by an evil spirit in just a small area, or he can be very bound. Now, let me give you, I'll give you scriptural proof of that, because it doesn't matter what I think. But let's first, can we all agree that Christians can still sin after receiving the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, yes. When you come to the knowledge of any sin, and you just stop yielding to that sin, then you're not controlled by it. But when you sin and you see it's wrong and you try not to do it, but you keep doing it, you're controlled by it. You're also controlled by an evil spirit in that area. Now, I'm going to prove that to you. Turn to 2 Timothy 2:24. Serving the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. And God peradventure will give them repentance till they acknowledge the truth. Now, any sin that you have to be brought to repentance on, and of course, it's the truth of God's word that makes you free, you have to be a servant of the Lord, must not strive. He's got to, by the Spirit of God, lead that person to repentance. Okay, now look at this. If you have any sin you haven't been repented of, look what verse 26 says. Let me go back to 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if peradventure God give them repentance, acknowledging the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Did you see that? Any sin that you have, you need to be brought to repentance so you can recover yourself out of the snare or the trap of the devil who's taking you captive at his will, that spirit's will. See, if you're taken, if you're taken captive by the devil to do his will, would you say you're under the control of the devil in that area? Well, of course, that's demon possession. And this describes every Christian. All Christians have to overcome sin and therefore have evil spirits that they have to overcome. It's that simple. You know? So, you know, people just get this idea of demon possession. They think there's some walk. They're walking around and they're possessed of the devil. It sounds crazy. But you could be, the devil could have a hold on you in the area that you strive with people. And every time you get in a certain situation, because you haven't been brought to repentance on that yet, the devil will take you over and start you striving with a person. Or the devil could have a person bound in the area of a man like lusting after women. And they may go to church, they may love God, they may read the Word of God, but when they get around looking at a beautiful woman, they start lusting after, because they haven't been brought to repentance in that area. You follow me? I'm not saying there's some wall-to-wall demonized person, you know. And I'm not saying you're the Gadarene, that you're like that. I'm just saying the devil can have a hold of you in any particular way. This scripture is saying any particular area the devil's, that you're bound with sin, there's a spirit with it. That's what I just read. And if you can make the connection between your sin and a spirit, then you'll see that. It's just like it says in Romans 6. It's talking about don't yield your members to sin. It says to whom you yield them to. So you're either yielding your members to the Spirit of God or to an evil spirit. It's that simple. So the devil can possess you in one small area. And what he wants to do is then get you bound and with more sin and then have you bound more, and gets you in another sin, and have you bound more and more and more until he takes you over. Some people are so bound with sin that you get around them, you feel like you're around the devil. And they could have the Spirit of Christ in them. Okay, now, where these ministers err in their teaching saying a Christian can't be demon possessed is they speak about the finished work of the cross of Christ. And they say, see, it's all done. You know, you're redeemed. You've been delivered from the powers of darkness. But they don't teach the whole counsel of God. And if you teach the whole counsel of God, then Christians have to be corrected. They have to be brought to repentance. They have to receive everything Jesus did on the cross for them by faith. And the faith that God works in them as they're corrected and brought to repentance. Just like many Christians have sick bodies and sick souls, and that sin, sick bodies and sick souls, that sin, they commit acts of sin. Yet, we were healed by a stripe. That work was done on the cross. We were healed by, and Jesus was taking our punishment. And what Jesus did on the, but see, you have to understand what Jesus did on the cross was not automatically worked out in us by simply saying one prayer and receiving the Lord. If he did, if everything Jesus did on the cross, as these ministers teach, like they say, oh, we were delivered from the powers of the authority of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son. If that was already worked out, then it would already be worked out that no Christians would have sick bodies or sick souls. Okay? And the reason people sin is because their soul is sick. Okay? But you can look everywhere and see Christians with sick bodies and sick souls. So, as I just read to you, where there is sin, there is some degree of demon possession. So we have to be brought out from under the control of these spirits. Okay? So not only is there an evil spirit where there's sin, there's also there's sickness. You know, or where there's sickness, it shows some, there's a spirit there. Let me show you that. Matthew 8:16. And when the evening was come, they brought unto many that were possessed of devils, and he cast out spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. That's Isaiah saying himself, and he's quoting Isaiah 53. Himself took our infirmities, bare our sicknesses. Okay? See the connection between sickness and evil spirits? Well, it's there. Let God open your eyes. Here's another example, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. If you're sick, it's an oppression of the devil. Now, I can't say that every sickness is an oppression of the devil, but definitely some sickness are an oppression of the devil. Look at Luke 13:11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. This is an evil spirit. 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. That's a spirit of infirmity, or that spirit of infirmity is an evil spirit. And when Jesus saw her, he called unto her and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, and the Pharisees were contentious about this. Now go down to verse 16. Here's Jesus' response to him. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Okay. You know, I saw that. I've seen this person at one of the jobs I work at. And he's walking around with his head, he's looking up all the time. And I said, Lord, this has got to be a spirit of infirmity. And I'm praying. And if it's right, I'm going to loose this man. Or when I got the faith to do it, I'm going to loose this man from the spirit of infirmity. So he can move his head down. And because I said, this has got to be the same thing. Because this man's walking around. He's looking up all the time. He can't put his head down. It's obvious to me this is an infirmity. And I believe there's a spirit with it. So I'm praying because I always want to minister as many people as I can. Let's go ahead and put a song here. Shadow of His Wings by Pamela Pontia.
Thank you. of the peace your love can bring. Night will fall, but I will not be afraid when I dwell in the shadow of your wings. In the shadow, in the shadow, shadow of your wings. I rely on your faithful covering. Arrows fly, but I will not be afraid when I dwell in the shadow of your wings. In the shadow, in the shadow.
Now, I want to say this. I only know of one time an evil spirit was cast out of me personally. And God did that. And God himself did that while I was sleeping. And I've shared this testimony before. But I've been getting my heart changed. And I've been being brought to repentance of sin and overcoming sin and the devil for some time now. So based upon 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, you don't always have to have a spirit in you cast out to come out of the devil's control. Now, this is just my own experience, and I don't trust my experience unless it lines up with the Word of God. But in this case, I believe it does. And I don't have confidence in what I see out there is these deliverance ministry, where the main focus is on casting out devils, okay? Because we're instructed to go make Christians. and then we'll overcome the devil. So I'm not saying that we don't need to cast out devils, because we do. That's one of the works that Jesus did more than any other thing, and that has not passed away. I'm just saying that I believe you can, we don't always have to line people up and cast the devil at them, that they can overcome the devil and be set free, and it doesn't always have to be cast out there, because that's what's happened to me. So if that'll help some of you, thank God. Now, let's talk about walking down paths of righteousness. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. So when the Lord is leading you, he'll be feeding you, causing you to eat and drink. And spiritually, he's feeding you his word and causing you to drink of his spirit. Verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Okay, our souls are restored as we walk down paths of righteousness. That says the Lord is leading us. Now, first thing it says, the Lord is my shepherd. To overcome, Jesus Christ must be Lord. You can never get out of bondage, and you can never get your soul restored unless you submit to Jesus Christ's Lordship. Hold your place here in Psalm 23 and turn to Romans 7:24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Okay, to be delivered from the sin nature, and that's what it's talking about here, and the law of Moses, you have to submit to Jesus Christ Lordship. There's a lot of Christians who receive the Lord but never come out of bondage because they don't submit to his Lordship. They just receive him and they do what they want. Now, we have all been at the place where we didn't know how to submit to Jesus' Lordship. But we start by simply obeying the word. Okay, let's read that. Luke 6:46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So as we obey the words of Jesus, we're submitting to his Lordship. And so if you can get that in your heart, that'll help you get started in this walk. You know, and as you grow spiritually, you'll learn, you'll experience yourself being led by the Spirit, and you'll learn, there's times where you're praying and you say, man, I believe God wants me to do this. And you'll go do it, and you can tell you overcame something. And I could share different testimonies how God led me to do this and led me to do that. And I obeyed the leading of the Spirit and I overcame. And I'll tell you this, another thing. As you get this in your heart, you start learning to obey the words of God. As you feel, because the devil's going to come against you when you start submitting to Jesus Christ, Lordship. And when you feel accusation hit you like, you're not following the Lord, you'll get to where you can say, get behind me, Satan, and quote the devil. Quote to the devil what the word says. I'm keeping the words of God. Get behind me, Satan, Jesus Christ, my Lord. See, you have to learn to get your life established upon the rock of God's word. And the more you can see that you're submitting to the Lord by keeping his, you know, one example is keeping his word, because the devil's going to hit you. You know, look at James 1:22. It says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Now, the devil won't ever focus on what you're doing right, but where you're falling short. He'll be looking at anything that he can accuse you of or whatever sin you're having a problem with. So he'll say, well, look at that. He'll try to get your focus away from as you're beginning to submit your life to the Lord, obey his words, and then he'll just say, well, look at this, what you're doing wrong. Okay, so you start practicing the word of God. Then when he says, well, look at this sin, say, well, quote him, Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then tell the devil, you know what, devil, as I start keeping the words of God, I'm learning to walk in Christ and walk after his Spirit. And the law of the Spirit of life, that's verse 2. Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. And And any person who becomes serious about walking uprightly before God, you get ready. You're going to be challenged because evil spirits that have you bound, they don't want to lose their hold on you, and they're going to come after you. Okay, but when you say, well, you know, if I'm obeying the word, that's starting to yield to Jesus Christ's lordship. You know, because Jesus said, "Why call me Lord and do not what I say?" So I'm submitting to Jesus' lordship by it says, "Love my neighbor as myself." I start practicing. Forgive those that trespass against. I practice that. Jesus Christ, my Lord, devil, get away from me. I'm walking in Christ by keeping the words of God. Get behind me, Satan. You have to learn to take the word of God. Even the devil attacked Jesus. He had to take the word of God and quote it back to the devil. And that will strengthen you. You'll start to get your life built upon the rock as you do that. Okay. Let's go back to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So Jesus Christ has to be Lord, and we talked about how he becomes Lord. He maketh me lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So part of the way the Lord restores our soul is causes us to feed on his word. See, he's talking about leading us into green pastures. Turn to 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. So we grow, feed on the word of God. That's why I always emphasize, read the word, feed on the word. Okay. If so be, verse 3, if you've tasted, the Lord is gracious. See, a lot of these simple things, instructions of the word of God, if you'll practice them, you'll grow. To whom coming is on a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. See, and you grow, feed on the word. And as you grow, this is the new man growing up in you, and you become a spiritual house or a house to become inhabited by God. See, many skip right over these words and say, well, we receive the baptism of the Spirit, and therefore God, the Spirit of God indwells us. Well, yes, but all that sin in you, keep the Spirit of God from operating in you. See, just like you can receive the Spirit of Christ when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, but he doesn't live through you because you haven't been crucified with him. See, the problem I see in the body of Christ is everything is taught like it works in you instantaneously. Ministers teach that everything Jesus did on the cross is automatically worked out, and of course, that's what everybody wants to hear. That's why these teachings are more popular. But if you teach the whole counsel of God and get understanding, then you see that the salvation of God is a process. And spiritual regeneration is part of the salvation. It's part of your salvation. Healing is part of your salvation. And it's all worked out as you continue to believe the gospel. Let Jesus Christ be Lord. Continue in the faith. Okay, verse 3 again. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Ooh, that doesn't sound like fun. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff to comfort me. Okay, get your soul restored as he's leading you through the valley of the shadow of death. All right? And in that valley of the shadow of death, the death we go through as Christians is the death of the old man, which is another area Christians say, I got baptized in water, or when I got baptized in water, the old man's dead, he's gone. My sin nature's all gone. Well, after you come out of the water, you're instructed to reckon him dead, so you have to keep believing. And you have to keep using your faith to put him to death. Then it's written, don't yield to him, a few verses later. Then later in Paul's writing, it says, put off the old man. So here it says, the Lord will lead you to put him to death as you walk through the valley. Okay? See? Because you're going to find other places. You know, just like it says, we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus will be manifest in our mortal bodies. So you have to continually put him to death. and he will pass away. It does work, but it's a lot more involved than just go down to the water, come up out of the water, boom, I'm dead. The old man's dead. I no longer have sin, because you keep reading on and you'll see he's still there. You have to keep reckoning him dead. You'll see in the next chapter, he'll rule over you because of the law of Moses. So you have to get free from the law. Now let's look what happens as the sin nature is taken out of you and as your soul is restored. As that's taking place, you'll overcome the devil. And then God anoints you for service. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. See, if you don't have understanding, you'll just read over this and say, okay, he's restoring my soul. Boom, that all happened. Now I'm anointed for service. No, you're going to have to walk through these things. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. So you walk through this, you get your soul restored, you put to death the old man. The anointing comes upon you. Now you're serving God by the Spirit. And goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. You'll dwell in the house of the Lord because you obey God. Okay, turn to Proverbs 8:20. I lead in the way of righteousness. This is what Christians have to go through to get to the place where you get the anointing and where you're serving God. I lead in the ways of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasure. Now, judgment is correction. Okay? 1 Corinthians 11:32. But when we are judged, we are chastening the Lord. That's correction. That we should not be condemned with the world. See, it's a good thing. Proverbs 6:23. Go back a few chapters. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now that's where we want to walk, folks. That's why we want to be corrected. Let's read that in the Common English Bible. The commandment is a lamp, and instruction light. Corrective teaching is the path of life. You know, the heart doesn't always know what's best for it. We don't always want to walk in correction. We don't always want that. Proverbs 10:17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof error. See, if you see yourself not liking correction from the Word of God, go to the Lord and ask him for mercy and grace to receive the correction. Ask him for grace to receive instruction. You can stay in the way of life. See, look what happens to people in the world who won't follow God. You know, they rebel against correction. They rebel against instruction of righteousness. Look at Proverbs 15:10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Isaiah 59:8. The way of peace they have not known. There is no judgment, correction in their going. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. See, okay, so let's look at the human race in a fallen state. And, you know, we've all been there. And you'll only come out of this fallen state as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and walk down righteous pathways. Romans 3:10. As written, there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poisoned ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. See, if you don't receive correction, if you don't walk in correction, destruction and misery in your way. See, the way of life is correction. Verse 17, in the way of peace they've not known. You know, and we all have the battle within ourselves of what we want to do and what the Lord wants us to do in submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord said he would satisfy our longing soul. He said he would give us all good things to enjoy. He would give us peace and joy. But there's times where submitting to the Lord is not fun. There's times receiving correction is grievous. There's times where we have to force ourselves to say, okay, I'm going to go God's way and make ourselves. But as God changes us, it gets easier to submit to the Lord. As God corrects us, it gets easier to submit to the Lord. I know what I'm talking about. I've experienced this because I used to be very rebellious, and it scared the hell out of me because that rebellion in me was strong. That was the old man. And I had to keep choosing to put off the old man. I had to keep choosing to submit to Jesus Christ's Lordship. I had to keep choosing to read the Word and make myself do the things of God. Now, my heart's been changed because the old man was dealt with on the cross. And I put him to death to a good degree. And I like the things of God because as I held fast to that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, I was getting my heart spiritually regenerated. I was getting to where I liked the things of God. As I put to death the old man, my old heart, first by initially getting baptized in water and then reckoning him dead and then learning not to yield my members to him. And yes, I failed over and over where I yielded my members to him because I was bound by it. And I had to keep putting him off. And I had to get it established, Mark, there's no condemnation to those that are Christ who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And so I said, okay, I'm not condemned because I'm still a slave to sin. That's what that's talking about. Don't be condemned when you're still a slave to sin. In the 7th chapter, 8th chapter said, don't be condemned. Just keep setting your will to obey. You may fail over and over, but as you keep going back, saying, nope, I'm going to obey, and I don't have to be condemned about being a slave to sin. You know what was happening? Second verse in Romans 8 was coming to pass. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus was setting me free. And I go, oh my God, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I don't have to die in my sin. I don't have to be rejected by God. And not only that I was coming out of my sin, I was getting my heart changed where I delighted in the things of God, where I started loving the Lord, where I was tasting and see that the Lord was good. And all of a sudden, or not all of a sudden, but more and more, my future became bright. I said, oh my God, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to have eternal life with the Lord. See, it says the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the 6th chapter. And I thought, oh my God, this works. But I had that struggle of sin within me, and I felt condemned, and the devil condemned the hell out of me. And I thought, oh my God, will I ever get out of this? Well, I did. I have been. Now it's not that hard not to yield to sin. It was hard. Why was it so hard? Because of the law of Moses and all that sin in me. But that sin has been taken out of me. You know, I've been being set free from it. And the law of Moses has been taken in. It's not all still totally gone. That's what put guilt on me. See, the law is the knowledge of sin. It makes you guilty. And let me tell you this, but you have to make an effort. The sin in you will war to have its way. And you know, a person that won't make the effort to submit to Jesus Christ's Lordship, they're open prey for the devil to move in on that person and destroy them. And God in His great mercy won't let that happen overnight. He'll let you experience a little of the guilt. He'll let you, he's already made it this way. And how horrible that feels. And then He'll come deal with you again. Don't go that way. Okay? Because the devil will lead you and cause you to follow the lust of your own heart and get you to rebel against God and use that to destroy you. Okay? But let, receive correction. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 1. I'm going to tell you another thing that God will do as He's leading you. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So let me tell you this, because I talked about how you have to make yourself follow God and what a struggle it is. But as you run the race with patience, you'll get your faith perfected, and that's how you'll inherit the blessing. See, For us to inherit the blessing of God, we do so through faith, and faith is perfected as we're running the race or following God. You know, and look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised his shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Okay? So, as we run the race and we look to Jesus, he will author and finisher our faith, and that, and we mix in faith with the gospel, with the promises of God, we will get the blessings. See, so I've experienced the wanting to rebel. I've experienced wanting to go my own way, but I also experienced the fear and the condemnation of it all. And God brought me to repentance, and now I'm experiencing the more and more peace, more and more confidence, more and more blessings. God blessed me financially. And I'm still having a warfare. I'm still fighting, but life gets better and better. Look at 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And this is Paul. You have to make an effort to submit to the Lord. You have to receive correction and instructions to stay on a righteous path. You have to fight the good fight of faith to keep from letting the devil lead you astray from God's ways. So, but as you do that, you'll overcome the devil more. You'll inherit the promises of God, the blessings of God. You'll become more established in the faith and more secure, and there'll be a growing confidence in your heart as you get your faith perfected. There'll be an increase of the peace of God in your life, and you'll know you have eternal life. So I just encourage every person out there, walk down a righteous pathway. You start that by just keeping the words of God, and then you'll get to where you can be led by the Spirit, and Jesus Christ will become Lord. This will all be worked out in your life. All right? So that's all I've got for the day, today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry and music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.